A sexual affair is not an innocent little liaison between consenting adults. It is high treason against Jesus Christ and gross sin against God. We are living in a generation that wants all of the sin, but none of the consequences. But God does not work that way. He warns, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now that warning is particularly applicable to our study on how to maintain sexual purity in a sensual world. We're examining the biblical account of the adultery between David and Bathsheba and drawing principles which will help us keep pure today. Thus far, we have learned that to avoid an affair, we must guard our leisure time, control our eyes, discipline our mind, and provide no opportunity for sin. Here's a fifth principle that will help us maintain our purity. Consider the consequences. If we have the sin, we will reap the consequences. God said that whatever we sow, we shall surely reap. Now that metaphor is from the fields, which teach us three things about sowing and reaping. One, we reap what we sow. No farmer expects to plant cotton and harvest corn. Two, we reap after we sow. The sowing is in the spring while the harvest is in the fall. And three, we reap more than we sow. A farmer would never plant unless he expected to get back more than the seed he planted. Now, when we apply those principles in the spiritual realm, we learn these lessons. One, we can never expect to practice sin without reaping the harvest of sin. Two, the fact that the consequences are delayed does not mean they will not come. They certainly will come. And three, the consequences of sin are always more than the pleasures of sin. Now, a moment's indulgence might bring a lifetime of regret. What are the consequences we might expect to reap from our sins? First, be sure that it will become known. God warns in Holy Scripture, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Now, who will know of it? Well, God will know of it. We read, "The thing that David had done displeased the Lord." You see, God discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart clearly, and he sees all things as if they were stripped bare and revealed before him. The man of God will know. God revealed David's sin to the prophet Nathan and sent him to rebuke the king in order to call him to repentance. Third, the enemies of God will know. David's adultery with Bathsheba gave the enemies of the Lord opportunity to blaspheme. And finally, your personal friends will know. Such things cannot remain hidden. Done in darkness, they will be manifested in the light. Done in secret, they will be spoken of in public. I've seen it again and again. A person moved by a guilty conscience, a chance slip of the tongue, or 100 other ways will let the truth out. If you commit sexual sin, which we call having an affair, be sure your sin will be known sooner or later. Secondly, it will bring regret. Do you suppose Bathsheba loved her husband Uriah? If so, what did she suffer in remembrance of her sin? She conceived a child by her adulterous affair with David, and the child was born dead as a judgment of God. Do you suppose she loved her child? What guilt might she have borne the rest of her life, even though God gave her other children, at the remembrance of the one dead because of her sin? David afterward took her to be his legal wife, but do you suppose their relationship was ever wholesome as she remembered how he had seduced her into adultery, killed her husband to cover it up, and brought the death of her firstborn as a judgment from God? Oh, yes. Bathsheba regretted it. In fact, the Bible reports that after all that tragedy, David comforted Bathsheba. But what about David? He might have enjoyed his escapade at the time. He might have relived it in his thoughts for many days. But what happened when God's prophet told him, "You are the man God has judged for this sin"? When he heard God's judgment on him and his house, do you suppose he regretted his adultery? Yes, he did. And so will you if you permit yourself to be involved in sexual sin. Third, it will be judged. Now, God is holy and will never permit sin to go unpunished. He judges it with guilt and shame. Then, if it is unconfessed and unforgiven, He moves to more severe forms of discipline. Remember that a person reaps whatever he sows and more than he sows. God told David that the child conceived illegitimately would die. Do you remember when David lay on his face and prayed for God to spare his child, refusing to eat or drink as he waited for God's answer? Well, you remember the baby died in spite of David's prayer. Well, now this is the child. The child shall die was the sentence upon sin. A second judgment of God upon David was, the sword shall never depart from your house. One of David's sons raped his half-sister. Her full brother killed him for it. Another of David's sons led a rebellion against his father and almost took the kingdom from him. In David's old age, his sons fought over which one would succeed him to the throne. David went to his grave a broken and burdened man because of his adultery with another man's wife. Now just be warned, sexual immorality will receive the judgment of God. Fourth, it is a most serious sin. Now why does God look on adultery so seriously as to pronounce the death penalty upon those who commit it? Well, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, verse 15 for an answer. It says, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and that includes the fornicators, that is, the sexual sinners. And then it says that our bodies are the limbs of Christ. To take a member of Christ and use it in sexual sin is to rape, and that's the meaning of the Greek word translated take, is to rape Christ. Now that is why adultery and fornication is so serious. It is an insult and a blasphemy against Christ. So an affair is not an innocent little liaison between consenting adults. It is high treason against Jesus Christ and gross sin against God. In spite of what the secular world says, see sexual sin as exceeding sinful. That's the way God looks at it. No wonder God says, flee fornication. Every man that a sin does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Now remember that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, so do not defile His sanctuary by using your body for sexual sin. But fifth, it can be forgiven. Now here's the miracle of grace. On the one hand, God warns He will judge those who sin sexually, whether they are single or married, even pronounce the death penalty on the adultery. But then on the other hand, God speaks of those who were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexual, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, those who had no hope of entering the kingdom of God, as now being washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now that's the proof that God can forgive and will forgive those who ask Him. So the Bible assures us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bring your sexual sins to God, though they be as scarlet. Receive His forgiveness to make them white as snow, and then go and sin no more. Father, we praise You for forgiveness of every sin by the blood of Jesus. Keep us from sexual sins, which are so common about us today, and help us to have bodies which are pure and fit for our Savior's use. For Jesus' sake, amen.